We welcome you in to the Gardener's Corner program, a Friday feature here on WKRX 96.7 FM. Rob Hall with you. We're brought to you today by T.G. Brooks Company, Jason Acock Auctioneering. Jason has a farm equipment auction going on tomorrow up in Green Bay, Virginia. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com for more information. We'll share some information with you from Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, and Dry Creek Auction will be having a consignment auction coming up on Saturday, March 19th in Sutherland, Virginia. We'll share some information with you about that coming up in a little bit. But right now, I'd like to make welcome to the Gardener's Corner program, Mr. Johnny Coley. Johnny, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Rob. Doing well. How are you this morning?
Doing good. Appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program today. Johnny is the horticultural agent for Person and Granville County offices of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. And he divides his time between Person and Granville counties, and he has been known to share his knowledge with other people, you know, across the radio waves. And sometimes Johnny joins Mr. Mike Rayleigh and Rufus Edmonston on the Weekend Gardener program on WPTF. But whether he's on the radio or in person, Johnny is always the same, nice, friendly, and has a lot of good information to pass along to the listeners. Johnny, here it is, pretty much the end of February. March 1st will be Tuesday. And with that being said, it's going to be gardening season pretty quick.
It is. It thundered in Roxborough yesterday.
That it did.
A little concern.
I thought about the same thing.
Yeah. I'm hoping we're past all that, although I understand. And I have seen it snow in March, but I'm hoping we're past all the coldest of the weathers. It's sort of a roller coaster ride we've had this week. But it is getting time, Rob, as you mentioned, March next week. It's hard to believe February just flew. It's like January sort of drug on, but February, I blinked my eye. February was gone. And so, you know, meteorologically speaking, March sort of begins the spring. You know, that's of course, the official spring is not, what, 21st, 23rd, something like that of March. But the meteorologically speaking, usually you think of it as 1st of March. So we do start thinking about gardening. We want to start getting some of the plants, especially seeds, started. You know, we can start a lot of our cold crop seeds, and even, you know, carrots can be sown this time of year, and they'll come up and produce. Most of the time we'll plant our cold crops like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, things like that. We'll plant them as plants. We don't actually start them as seed. A lot of people do start them as seed. And, you know, probably waiting on to the middle of March or so is a good time to start putting them out. But the main thing is you want to make sure that they're hardened off well enough and they can tolerate cold temperatures once you put them out there in the garden. They can't come right out of a greenhouse or a warm area and go right out in the garden. You have to sort of acclimatize them to the garden and get them ready. But we're, you know, even for peppers and tomatoes, you know, if you want to have peppers ready by the end of April, 1st of May, you know, we want to, within the next week or so, we want to get those started. usually you can back up for peppers. You can usually back up about 8 weeks from sowing the seed to having a plant ready to go out in the garden. It's around an 8 week turnaround. For tomatoes, more of a 6 week turnaround. So, you know, a lot of people like to get that first tomato put in the ground. And, a lot of people will try first in April, but we've talked about it several times, Rob. You can plant tomatoes the beginning of April. You can plant them the first of May. A lot of times you have them ready about the same time because those cold nights, tomatoes, peppers, they just don't do well, any of the summer crops. So, we're so dependent on the weather as far as how soon we can get things planted. And now, we're probably going to let things dry out a little bit before getting them in the garden. We were talking about this before we get on the air. We were beginning to get a little dry, and now with that rain this week, we've gotten probably more on the wet side. It doesn't take as long this time of year to get us wet, so we're a little wet. Probably need to let the garden dry out some before trying to plant things. But it is time to start. You know, onions. If you didn't plant them last fall, a lot of people do plant onions in the fall. And they'll have, you have a bigger onion, but, get the spring onions. And potatoes, it's time to start planting the Irish potatoes, not the sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes, more of a late May, early June, part of putting them in. They like it very warm. But, several crops, for those individuals that are ready to get going, it's time. First of March is time to go. Hard to believe.
I know time is marching on, to say the least. Well, Johnny, when you talk about starting seeds to turn them into transplants, this is something that could be done in the spare room of your home, or maybe if you have a heated garage. You don't need a lot of high-tech equipment. You just need some good lighting and some good soil, the seed, and things like that, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You just, there are certain things you want to consider when starting your seeds. And the first thing, Rob, is to make sure that your seeds are viable that you're sowing. You don't want to sow them and wait a couple of weeks and they just don't do anything. So making sure your seeds are viable. If the seeds are new from this year, that they should be. You want to make sure that you bought them from a reputable place that you're sure will have good germination rates on those seeds. But then, as you said, you can start them inside. You do need a grow light. Want to purchase a grow light, or you can use just the fluorescent lights. It's recommended if you use a fluorescent lighting that if you have a two baluster, a two tube baluster, as far as putting the bulbs in on the fluorescent, do one of those tubes warm and one of them cool as far as the putting them in the baluster. And that gives you the right wavelength for your seeds and your plants to do well, rather than doing just one, just doing two of the same, just do a mixture of a warm and a cool fluorescent bulb or tube in that baluster. So that'll help. Make sure you start out with a good potting mix, a good seed starting mix. And, you don't want it to stay too wet. You don't want it to, to be real heavy in peat. But you want it to hold enough moisture that it can get those seeds germinated. And consistency has a lot to do with how well your seeds are going to start and then continue growing. As far, with the moisture, you don't want it to get too dry. You sow the seeds and you wet it down. The soil, you wet it down very well, and then you let it dry out. Well, those seeds are not going to germinate as quickly as if you were to actually keep it moist and evenly moist as they're growing. again, as well as the light and the temperature. Temperature can vary for seeds. Some seeds, you know, germinate at different optimum temperatures. Most of the time, you know, somewhere around 70, 75 degrees is the a good temperature to keep the seeds as they're germinating. I think tomato seeds will germinate anywhere from 50 to 95. I'm going by memory, so it's not always a good thing, but in that range, the closer you get down to 50, the slower they're going to germinate. The higher you get closer to 95, the slower they're going to germinate. And if you get below or above those temperatures, you don't have very good germination rate, a very good germination success at all. So, you know, hitting sort of the middle, 70, 75 degrees, that's going to be your optimum. And as I said, most seeds are going to do well at that temperature. If you have a seed packet that should tell you what the optimum temperature for germinating those seeds are and also give you your light requirements. There are some seeds that would germinate better in a dark environment versus a light environment. So just make sure you know what your seeds are going to, the requirements of your seed for germinating them. Once they get up and get to be seedlings, you know, most of them are going to need some good light. But for germination purposes, some of them don't need as much light as others. And make sure that your mix that you put your seeds in, that you're starting your seeds in, are free of any weeds, diseases, insects. Most of the time, if you buy a bagged material, you know, the diseases and insects will not be an issue. And weeds, you know, they can be. Usually the soils that you buy, the potting soils and the seed starting mixes, they're treated to a certain temperature in order to get most of the weed seeds, but they can't get it so high that they do away with the good organisms in that mix. So, you know, there may be some seeds that'll still come up. Oxalis comes to mind when I think about seeds in potting mixes. It seems like oxalis is a tough one to get the mixes that don't have maybe a few seeds of the oxalis. So it seems like the oxalis will come up everywhere. But, you know, just it's a lot of things to think about when you're sowing the seeds. You don't want to just think you can put them in some potting mix and, you know, wet them down and walk away from them. 2 weeks later, you're going to come back and have seedlings ready to transplant. It is a process.
Well, now, if you would like more information about starting plants from seeds, you can contact Johnny Coley by calling the Person County office at 336-599-1195 or the Granville County office 919-603-1350. And Johnny, just one question. When you talk about having the lights on a plant, this is kind of a two-part question. First part is, I know you said it depended on the lighting requirements for seed, but once that seed has, you know, more or less broke soil and emerged, as far as the number of hours of light that you have on it, I'm sure it's, you know, very important. But with that being said, you need to have your light to where you can adjust the height of the light from the plant, and you try to have the light really close to the plant, and that kind of, I guess, makes it, what's the word I'm looking for? If the light is far away from it, it will make it grow long and spindly, but if the light is closer to the plant, it'll kind of make it like a more sturdy, healthier plant. Is that right?
That's correct, Rob. Yeah, you know, plants, especially using artificial light, that does not do it as much if you have it out in the open. And, but with artificial lighting, yeah, the closer you can have that lighting to the seedlings. They don't stretch. They don't. I say they get leggy. they'll get stretched out. I don't think leggy is a technical term, but they'll stretch and get tall, and that is more difficult to transplant them, and they just don't perform as well if you have that light higher up. So, you know, as the plants grow, and it's something to be able to consider when you're setting your germination area up is, you know, you might need to be able to adjust that lighting as the plants grow. Normally the plants aren't, but you know, maybe inch and a half tall or so when you transplant them, you know, probably inch and a half tall when you transplant them into something maybe a little bit bigger if you're starting those small seeds like tomatoes and peppers, as I mentioned earlier, even basil. Basil is a very small seed, and a lot of people plant those from seed. And then, of course, basil would not be an inch tall when you transplant them. The way they start out growing, they don't get tall so much as they sort of get more full to begin with. So, you know, you don't want them to be so tall that you have to bury them too much. Tomatoes will tolerate being in the soil, deeper in the soil than some plants will. You'll get pythium or damping off on them after you transplant them if you have to bury them too deep and that stem's too deep in the soil. So, you know, the lighting is critical, and it's inside. It can be difficult. It can.
All right, we're going to get a word on for Jason Aycock Auctioneering. He has an auction up in Green Bay, Virginia tomorrow. Jason Aycock Auctioneering, VAL004616, announces the farm equipment auction for the estate of the deceased Lynn Vaughn to be held Saturday, February the 26th at 10 a.m. at 3886 Bethel Church Road in Green Bay, Virginia. The auction will be held rain or shine, on-site bidding, and bidding available through proxy bid. For terms, more information, and to see photographs of items up for auction, log on to jasonaycockauctioneering.com. You can also call Jason Aycock at 919-495-0285. Up for auction on Saturday, February the 26th at 10 a.m. Tractors, trucks, trailers, tillage, planting, and hay equipment, plus shop tools and salvage vehicles. That's jasonaycockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. This auction will be held Saturday, February the 26th at 10 a.m. at 3886 Bethel Church Road, Green Bay, Virginia. We do appreciate the support of Jason Aycock Auctioneering here on the Gardener's Corner program. Johnny Coley is our guest. Johnny, noticing some things are kind of starting to sprout and things like that. Now, is it a good time for pre-emergence in the loan?
It is, Rob. It is getting time to do that. The last couple of years, the weed specialists over at NC State have actually backed up the putting up the pre-emergence. You put them out even earlier. This year, we've been, you know, pretty normal, if you will, temperature-wise. We've had some warm days, but the nighttime temperatures have gotten down to in the 20s. And so, you know, I think we're pretty on track this year for the normal end of February, which we are now, and 1st of March. Forsythia, when the forsythias bloom, is always a good indicator for putting out pre-emergence. But it's better to get your pre-emergence out earlier than it is to wait too late. The pre-emergence effective is not just that when you put it out that it's going to affect. It's effective for, you know, several weeks after you put it out. So, if, you know, getting it out earlier is better. They do have some products now that will get crabgrass. We'll say the crabgrass control is what most people are putting out the pre-emergence for this time of year. And there are some that will get will still kill the crabgrass if it's at, you know, the one or two till stage. So when they're very small, but, you know, just for pre-emergence, it is you want to go ahead and get that out. And normally, following the label directions, but normally another application, about 6 weeks out, might get any seeds that might not have germinated yet that still will. So that double application of pre-emergent does seem to help throughout the season with crabgrass control. Now, some of the grasses, I know Japanese stilt grass has been a problem recently. Well, I say recently, it's been around for a while now, but it has been a problem, especially in shadier, damp areas for people. Unfortunately, they germinate a lot earlier. May have already missed the window for controlling them, but a lot of times the same pre-emergence that you put out for crabgrass will get those. Although crabgrass is more of a summer it's definitely a warm season, and it's more of the sun area where the Japanese steelgrass does better in a damp, shadier area as far as growing that. So, you know, but most of the time we're looking at the pre-emergence for crabgrass control this time of year. Your broadleaf weeds, a lot of people will ask about broadleaf control, the henbit, the chickweed, the dead nettle type, the bittercress is another one, those types of weeds. They've already germinated. They're already up. So those, you're going to apply your post-emergent herbicides, but you use a broadleaf herbicide on them, so not to damage your turf. It's a herbicide that is selective for just broadleaf herbicides. One precaution with broadleaf herbicides is that most of our shrubs, most of our woody ornamentals are broadleaf as well, so you need to be cautious on putting down broadleafs or spraying broadleaf herbicides near broadleaf plants, broadleaf types of shrubs.
Well, now, Johnny, just this question, if maybe some people are aerating and wanting to do some overseeding in their lawn, if they put out pre-emergence at the same time, that's like saying, you know, no need to plant those grass seed because the pre-emergence will take care of that sprouting grass seed and it won't come up. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. That's something you do need to be cautious about as well. Normally that's a fall issue, especially with cool season grass.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but I didn't know if some people would maybe be trying to do some overseeding, you know, here late winter, early spring or something like that.
Yeah, and some people do, Rob. That is, it's not the optimum time to start. But overseeding, a lot of people do overseed, especially only the cool season grass, usually tall fescue, is what you're going to be reseeding this time of year. But it's definitely a good point to make is that you don't want to put out a pre-emergent herbicide and then put your grass seed down right behind it, or put out the grass seed and then, you know, 2 weeks later, put out a pre-emergent, because it is going to kill the germination rate of your grass seed. So that's very good point to make, because a lot of people do put out some grass seed, especially if you sowed it in the fall and you got a decent stand, but you just wanted to beef it up a little bit for the spring. You know, some people will plant it in March. you just want to get it early enough so it can get established before the summer heat and dryness comes for the tall fescue. But you don't want to put it out in conjunction with your pre-emergent herbicide.
Some good advice right there. Johnny, I need to get a message on, but before we do, can you give us a little bit of information about the Master Gardeners course? It's going to be starting up, is it in March?
Actually, it's the Master Gardener training starts in August.
So August, okay, okay.
But it's August 11th is when it starts, but never too early to start talking about it, thinking about it. It's going to be on Thursday mornings, starting August 11th, and run through the first part of December. So it's a fairly lengthy training. It's 3 hours each Thursday, so it's a one day a week, or one half a day, I guess, half a day a week commitment to the training. But we will start that in August. There is a charge for that. You do get a book, and there are just some fees and everything associated with that. So it's $150 fee for that class. But like I said, you get several weeks of training, and hopefully you'll continue on with the volunteer and education hours and can become a certified Master Gardener. The training is just the first step in that process. You have to have the training, and then you go through a certain amount of volunteer hours, certain amount of education hours before you can be a certified Master Gardener. But that training starts August 11th. I have not picked a location yet, but it will start then. It'll be off. So it'll be every Thursday from 9 to 12. Every Thursday, starting in August, going through December. So, if anybody's interested in that, I've got a list that I've started. That when more details become available, I will be in touch with you and see if you're still interested. But just give me a call, and I'll be glad to talk to you more about it.
336-599-1195 is the number to the Person County Cooperative Extension Service Office. 919-603-1350 is your phone number to the Granville County office. We'll take a break and get a message on for T.G. Brooks Company and Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers. More with Johnny Coley after these messages.
Even though the calendar says it is February, we all know that spring 2022 is not far behind. There is plenty of time now to come to T.G. Brooks Company and get some sound advice for your lawn preparation coming up soon. They have had so much experience, so why not let the professionals work with you on your spring lawn and garden planning? They serve homeowners all over Person and surrounding counties. They will tell you all about the advantages of pre-emergent weed control or weed and feed. You want to be sure to perk up your lawn with fertilizer, lime, and weed control to get your lawn off to a proper spring start this year. To beautify your flower garden and shrubs around your home, T.G. Brooks Company carries hardwood as well as dyed mulches, and they will deliver to your home or office, and they'll also sell it by the scoop or by the bag. They feature all of the popular lawn and garden chemicals and treatments, insecticides, herbicides, and always carry the soils like topsoil, bulk planting soil, potting soil, cow manure, and pine needles to make your place look sharp. They have equipment for sale or rent like spreaders, power pluggers, and lots of lawn and garden tools, and of course, wheelbarrows. And before you know it, it will be March. They'll have all of your flower garden and vegetables and garden supplies when it comes to beautification come in today. Talk over your plans. Let them remind you that T.G. Brooks Company has your water heater elements, thermostats, and pressure relief valves. They have Taylor wood stove parts. Person County and surrounding areas count on T.G. Brooks Company, serving the homeowner, farmer, and construction worker since 1936. Phone anytime at 364-2428.
Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers is located 613 Lewis Street in Oxford. Open for business weekdays 8 to 5, Saturdays 9 till 1. Call 1-800-221-9267 or 919-693-4626. Al, Hillary, and Will, there to serve you with all of your golf car needs. They have Club Car, Easy Go, and Yamaha units. If you're wanting a gasoline or an electric golf car, they have them at Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers. Trojan Batteries, Parts, and Repair Service. Thinking about a new grill? Check out the Wilmington Grills at Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers. Speaking of trailers, they have utility, dump, enclosed, stock, and equipment trailers. That's Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers in Oxford, 919-693-4626, toll free, 1-800-221-9267. Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers. Johnny Coley is our guest on the program today. The Gardener's Corner is brought to you by T.G. Brooks Company, Jason Acock Auctioneering, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, and Dry Creek Auction. Johnny, you know, it seems like here lately the price of everything is getting expensive. And what I'm hearing, fertilizer is following right in suit. So with that being said, it would be very wise to go ahead and get your soil samples turned in. Now, the $4 fee is still in effect, but that fee will be waived. Is it starting April 1st?
April 1st, yep. So through the end of March, the soil samples are $4. But this year, Rob, that I remember would be a very good investment, that $4, to make sure that you get your the right fertilizer or even if you need it to put any fertilizer. So making sure you had your soil sample and even lime. I've heard lime prices have really shot up as well. So if the lime or the fertilizer is not needed, and the only way you can know that is to do a soil sample and know what requirements your lawn or your shrub area or trees or whatever you're fertilizing, that is the only way to know. So it is good to get those soil samples in. I think I looked earlier this week and it was about a 2-week turnaround right now. So they really come down on their turnaround times. It was up to, I think I saw 8 to 10 weeks one time this winter. So it is a lot less now as far as the turnaround time. So if you get them in and we get them over to the lab, next week, you should have them by the middle of March. Plenty of time to get your fertilizer application out. For your gardens, for your lawns, especially your cool season lawns, that will be a little late. Cool season lawns do not want to be fertilized. We're right on the cusp of being really too late already for our cool season. And I'm speaking mostly about the tall fescue. That's usually a mid-February would be the latest that you want to fertilize them. So, you're looking for more garden fertilization and warm season grasses, which a lot of people are turning to the warm season grasses now versus the cool season grasses, because they just don't tolerate the heat and the dry a lot better than our cool season grasses. So if you do have a warm season grass and you get your soil samples in and be ready to fertilize them when they start to green up a little bit, which is, usually by April, some of them, depending on the weather, some of them will start greening up in April time frame. So it is definitely the time to get your soil samples completed, and I think that $4 investment is well spent, especially with the prices of fertilizer this year. It will be well worth it.
And you are correct, Johnny. I have heard of fertilizer being over $800 a ton, and I'm sure it depends on, you know, what type of fertilizer you get, but that $4 per sample fee may be one of the best investments that you have ever made. You never know to because if you don't do the test, you may be wasting money by putting out more than you really need. And something else, you want to maximize the amount that you get out of your garden. And so sometimes you may be a little bit skimpy on the fertilizer, as to where if you would go ahead and fertilize to the recommendations of the soil sample, you know, your more or less harvest would be a greater harvest. But there again, some people have different ideas and different ways of doing things, but it is really nice that we are able here in North Carolina to turn the soil samples in, and at most they cost $4 per sample, where in some states, you know, that cost is a lot more money than $4 per sample. But
I mean, $25 to $40.
Wow. Well, now, Johnny, you're going to be making some visits, as I understand, to the library, because you're going to be starting up a series of workshops there at the library. Something about springtime gardening tips.
That's going to be the title of the one coming up next week. This is set up to be every first Wednesday through June, with the exception of June. I think June 1st falls on June. June 1st is the first Wednesday of June, if that makes sense. So we're having that one on the 8th. So we back that one up to June 8th just to get it into June a little bit further. But we are having some classes over at the Person County Library. They will be their lunchtime as far as the time of day. They will be from 12 to 1, and it'll be the if I can pull those dates up right quick. So it's March 2nd, which will be next week, and then April 6th we'll talk about vegetable gardening. Next week we're just going to talk about sort of getting started for, you know, springtime planting, springtime, what we need to start thinking about, what we need, you know, need to do, maybe what we should have already done in some cases. But, you know, pruning, we're going to talk, you know, we'll talk about soil sampling, planting dates, seed starting, weed control, some of the things that we've already talked about today, we will discuss again on that next week. I'm looking for these to be sort of informal somewhat. I mean, I'll have a program, but it's, you know, sort of an informal type of sessions with these. And we will offer it over Zoom as well. You do need to register for this. So call the Cooperative Extension Office either in Granville or Person County and just ask them to get you in contact with me, and we'll get you registered for this. It's on Eventbrite as well. But April 6th, we'll talk about vegetable gardening. May 4th, we're going to talk about plant diagnostics, you know, what to start looking for so we can get those issues resolved before they get too far along. And then June 8th, we'll talk about pollinators and perennials, June being perennial month. We'll talk about the importance of pollinators and some different aspects of perennials. So I'm looking forward to the series. I've done series at the library before this year. So hopefully we're going to be able to have everything face-to-face as well as Zoom. So it'll be a hybrid class. And looking for good conversation and a good series here. And then, of course, you know, we'll skip July, and then August we'll start kicking off the Master Gardener program. So a lot of good opportunities coming up.
Yeah, you've got a lot on your plate, Johnny. Wow.
It's spring. It keeps me out of trouble.
Well, now, Johnny, a lot of times they say end of February, first part of March is the ideal time to prune. Of course, we want to, you know, ask everyone that if you are going to be out pruning, you know, make sure you've got your gloves, your safety glasses and things on. And if you're going to be up a ladder, have someone to, you know, hold the ladder to make sure that, you know, you don't fall. But it's a good time of the year to prune a lot of things, but not everything, right?
That's correct. And I'll go back to the ladder comment, Rob. It's probably better just to stay off the ladder when you're pruning. It's, you just never know where those limbs are going to fall. I don't know if I've shared with thought on the radio before, but Rob Montague, who's the forest ranger over in Granville County, he's got a video that he's shown on some chainsaw safety classes that I've set in he's presented. Has a video of a gentleman on a ladder sawing a limb, and that limb coming back and knocking the ladder from underneath him. So it's an eye opening experience when you see that. So it is probably not the best thing in the world to get on the ladder when pruning. If you need to get a little higher, you know, pole saws work well, but and you do need to make sure you know what you're pruning. That's what I tell people. You know, make sure you know what you're pruning so you'll know when the bloom time of that plant is. You know, you don't want to go out there this weekend and prune your forsythias back, because you will not have any blooms on your forsythias if you prune your forsythias back this time of year. You do not want to prune your azaleas back because you're likely not to have any azalea blooms, because these plants bloom on last year's growth. So, you know, crepe myrtles, you're fine to prune your crepe myrtles this time of year as long as you don't murder your crepe myrtles and cut them off, you know, just non-discriminately topping your crepe myrtles. You see that a lot. And, not the proper way to prune crepe myrtles. Butterfly bushes, you're fine to prune this time of year. Roses, good time to prune your roses. And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of your fruiting plants you can prune this time of year. Grapes, blueberries, you know, go ahead and get those pruned, your apples. And even though these plants do also produce fruit on last year's growth, not so much the grapes would be more of those spurs that you leave, is where the fruiting would be. But the blueberries, they're already starting to bud pretty heavily, but you don't need as many blooms on the blueberries, on the apple trees, on the peach trees, as they produce. We had a pruning seminar over in Alamance County, like the middle of February, and the gentleman that did that particular seminar said that peach trees need about 10% of the blooms that they have on. in order to get a good crop of fruit, if 10% of the blooms actually produce fruit, you would have a good crop, and it would be larger fruit. The same way with blueberries. If you have less fruit, the berries will be bigger, and you'll still have plenty. You'll still have plenty of fruit on them. So don't worry so much about pruning those buds off on the blueberries that you see. But, yeah, now's a great time to do it. Just, as I said, if you're pruning ornamentals, know what you're pruning. Because if they've already set buds and ready to, you know, get ready to bloom, then you'll prune your blooms off.
All righty, good information. Johnny, need to catch up on one commercial. Tri Creek Auction Company, VAAL, number 1065, number 4615, on Saturday, March 19th at 10 a.m., we'll be having the spring consignment auction, bid live at 1200 Daveman's Trail in Sutherland, Virginia, or online at drycreekauction.com. They are accepting consignments, and they can make arrangements to move the equipment to the auction site. Already consigned, John Deere 2750 tractor with cab and loader, John Deere 4430, International 1066, International 966, International 806, Ford 6610, Ford 4600, tractors, trucks, trailers, farm equipment, and much, much more. Concessions available. Absolutely no buyer's premium. Call Billy Rice with any questions and for term information and to consign today. 434-222-1599. That's Saturday, March 19th at 10 a.m. at 1200 Daveman's Trail in Sutherland, Virginia. Call Billy Rice at 434-222-1599. We do appreciate all of our sponsors here on the Gardener's Corner program, and we appreciate the brains behind the program, Johnny Coley and all the other agents of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service.
Is this tell jokes?
No, this is tell the truth. Tell the truth. Johnny, we've got just about 2 minutes left. Any information that you want to pass along?
Well, we've had several pesticide classes coming up, Rob, and I just want to make sure everyone's aware of these. If you're spraying any auxin-type materials, and I won't say any auxin, certain auxin labels require an auxin training. Most of these have dicamba as the active ingredient, but if you are going to spray these and you know you're going to need that auxin training, we're having one March 1st, which is next Tuesday, and it's sort of a watch party from 8:30 to 9:30, and it will be at the Granville County office building or the Person County office building. So you can be at either or. Michaela Graham will be there in Person County, and I'll be in Granville County. And we have several different, I think, Vance County Regional Farmers Market. You can go there as well. Warren County has a location that you can go to, and then Wake County has a location you can go to. Also, for this particular training, and you'll get your auxin auxin requirements to be able to purchase this material. And then there will also be a fumigant training on March 1st at 10 a.m. And this will be Granville County only. Actually, I think Paul McKenzie over in Vance County does have one at the Vance County Farmers Market as well on March 1st at 10 a.m. And then there's a multi-category, which has a lot of different pesticide categories. If you have a category that you need pesticides for, this will probably have it. Ariel is not in there, but a lot of the other ones are. Landscapers with the ale, ornamental and turf, a lot of the ale category, it will be there. X, so private applicators, you would be able to get your credits with X at this one. This was March 15th, and it will be at the Granville County Expo Center and at the Person County Library. So this one's at the Person County Library there in Roxboro, also at the Granville County Expo Center over on Highway 15. So, like I said, if you need a pesticide, you need pesticide credit, most likely this one's going to cover it. It's a pretty wide range of letters that we have on this one. I think it's A, B, D, G, H, K, L, N, O, X.
You got the whole alphabet in there.
The whole alphabet, yes. This is our alphabet training. So it does have quite a few of them. Not all of them, but quite a few as far as agricultural or horticultural crops are concerned. This one will pretty much take care of it. It's a two-hour session. So it starts it's March 15th, which is a Tuesday. Starts at 9 o'clock, and it will be held at the Granville Expo Center and the Person County Library as well. So if you need pesticide credits, other than V, it's not going to cover V. We've had some V trainings, and I think we've got most of our growers for this year trained in the V. But if you need the X, this will get you the X if you have the private applicators. Feel free to call the office, either Person County or Granville County office, and we'll be glad to give you more information and get you registered for this.
Special thanks goes out to Jason Aycock Auctioneering, T.G. Brooks Company, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, and Dry Creek Auction for being a sponsor of the broadcast. Johnny, thank you for sharing your knowledge. And if you have a question for Johnny, you can contact him at either the Person or the Granville County office. And Johnny, hope you have a good afternoon, and I guess I'll have you back on the program. Let me look at the calendar real quick.
Let's see here.
Rob, thank you for letting us be on. We appreciate everything that Radio Roxborough does for extension.
We'll have you back in here for April Fool's Day, April 1st.
April 1st. All right. Well, they did through the whole month of March.
That's right.
All right,
Johnny. Take care.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Rated number 1 for Person County listeners, WKRX, my hometown station.